I think it's safe to say it's Christmas time. Okay, it's a Christmas season. Thanksgiving is over. Today is December 1st. A couple days ago was the first Sunday of Advent. Those of you that don't know what Advent is, it's the season of four Sundays before Christmas where we're preparing for Christmas Day to come. And there's candles that go with it and, you know, and Google it, okay? So now you can put up the tree. You can hang up the lights outside. You can start baking the cookies and listening to all that beautiful Christmas music. You can send out your Christ-inspired Christmas cards and letters with those ugly nativity Christmas stamps that they sell. You can patronize, hopefully, as many local businesses as you can afford. And people somehow, at least some people, become a little more understanding and act a little kinder towards one another's. You can be wearing your ugly Christmas sweaters. You can make fruitcake. No, forget that one. Forget the fruitcake, okay? Unless you need a doorstop. You can be putting the candles in the windows and watch the Hallmark movies, at least most of them. And I'm not sure with all this COVID stuff if there's any winter concerts at schools, certainly not Christmas concerts, but you can just eat all you can and you can buy that poinsettia or poinsettia, depending on where you're from. And I'm not a real fan of them, but they're just for some reason a Christmas thing. But do not, in all of this, do not forget the real reason for the season is Jesus Christ. Okay, let your life reflect Jesus in all that you say, in all that you do, every day, all day. Okay, even at Walmart or the grocery store or when you're driving or when you get to the mall, to the parking lot, and somebody takes that last spot that's close by and so you're going to have to walk maybe 50 yards. And, you know, when you're in the store and they're having that big sale, you know, and there's just one more 75-inch flat-screen TV, and you and that other person put your hand on it at the same time, just say, Merry Christmas. I hope you enjoy it. So what would Jesus do? I think, first of all, he'd be appalled at what we have made Christmas to become. But the thing that I know that he would do for sure is he would love first. Okay, he would love everybody first. So we need to remember that it's his birthday that we're celebrating. And we need to remember to share him with others. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for sending your son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Lord, I think if I was him, I probably wouldn't want him to come. Looking at the world then and looking at it now, I'd say, nah, I think I'll just kind of stay here. You know, it's nice up here in my throne. And so I just feel like I'd rather stay here. But Jesus, as we know, did not do that. He knew from before creation that the time was going to come that he would come to earth. So I give you thanks that he was willing to come and ready to do what was set before him to do. So, Father, help us to enjoy the fact that we know him and we love him, but, Lord, to share him with others at the same time. So as we look at your word, Father, help us to see what it is that you want us to get from this message, because there may be a different message for each person that listens. So, Father, help us to open our ears, our minds, our hearts, and see what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. So, excuse me. I want to share something with you that I found, I don't know, a few months ago. And it's a song by Zach Williams. And it's a different kind of Christmas song. You know, it's a newer Christmas song. But it's one that many people need to hear. So just listen to the words. Okay, the name of the song is The Call of Christmas. And it goes like this. Wonder of all wonders, outside of Bethlehem, angels came to shepherds, ordinary working men. Not the high and mighty, the powerful and great, but those who feel unwanted that the world has pushed away. Hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lowly and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken. I bring you good news. Hear the call of Christmas. The Savior waits for you. All who feel rejected, unwanted, and alone, we're all so undeserving of the kindness we've been shown. Come behold the King of Kings. Find rest, you weary souls. Lay down all your burdens. He will mend and make you whole. For all those in need, come find your hope and peace. Oh, do not be afraid, for he has come to save. Excuse me. Hear the call of Christmas. All you lost and left behind, the lowly and the longing, with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Hear the call of Christmas. The Savior waits for you. Hear the call of Christmas. The Savior waits for you. So I'm going to look at the words of this song and kind of make some comparisons to scripture. Okay, the first lines of the story begin like this. Wonder of all wonders, outside of Bethlehem, angels come to shepherds. Okay, now that's not something new to you if you're familiar with the Christmas story. Okay, so let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And I'm taking this from the NIV. So there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Okay, first thing that this tells us is that Jesus was not born on December 25th, okay? Because it just doesn't fit with the fact that shepherds were out in the field at that time, okay? Because it was just too cold. It was more likely in the spring, not in the summer because it would have been too hot and dry, and so it was probably in the spring sometime. And the second thing is that these are not ordinary sheep. Why do we know that? Because they were near Bethlehem. Now, the importance of that is that these were sheep that were to be used in temple sacrifices, and so they were kept nearby. Okay, most other sheep were, you know, a long distance from Bethlehem, a long distance from any of the towns. They were out in the fields, out in the hills, you know, out away from where there was a lot of people. But these shepherds and these sheep are nearby because we know that the shepherds, you know, in a short time were able to walk into Bethlehem. So one of the most important things here is shepherds, okay? Being a shepherd was not on the top ladder job-wise, okay? In the family, if you had sheep, that job fell to the youngest, to the weakest, the one that wasn't able to help out the family in any other way, that he got stuck out, you know, being the shepherd with the sheep. Now, in society at that time, in that culture, being a shepherd was maybe a rung above a foot washer, okay, being the lowest servant in the house. Okay, so as a shepherd, you know, you probably didn't smell real good. and people kind of avoided you. You know, if you were a shepherd in the family, you know, when you got home and you walked into the house, everybody would say, "Oh, well, we know who just came in the house now, don't we?" Okay, and so you didn't smell real good. And people looked down on you because of who you were. Now, 1 Samuel 16, God was using Samuel to anoint a new king, and Jesse was told to bring his sons in to see if one of them was going to be chosen by Samuel to be the king. And so, you know, the sons start parading through, and, you know, they're all tall and handsome and muscular and all this, got everything going for them. And, you know, God kept telling Samuel, "Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one." And so he'd gone through all these sons. And so Samuel said, "Hey, Jesse, you know, you must have another son someplace, somewhere." And he says, "Oh, yeah, you know, there's David. He's out in the field with the sheep." So, you know, he got no respect. Hey, Jesse was told to bring all of his sons in, and he brought them all in except for that shepherd, David. So he got no respect even within his own family because of who he was, the shepherd. So let's take a look at the rest of that first verse. Okay, it says, "Ordinary working men," talking about the shepherds, not the high and mighty, the powerful and great, but those who feel unwanted, that the world has pushed away. Ordinary working men. Now, ladies, don't be offended. In that culture, women probably did most of the work, but men still had a higher role in every place else. Now, there probably weren't very many female shepherds, okay? Because it was just too physical of a job. So I know I just offended some of you women, okay? But I'm not going to apologize for 2,000-year-old culture, okay? But there wasn't a lot of female shepherds because of what the shepherd had to do, okay? It was a shepherd's job to protect the sheep against, you know, predators of any kind. You know, and David tells us in the scriptures that, you know, he'd killed a bear and he'd killed a lion. And, you know, I'm not saying no woman can do that, but let's just leave it there, okay? So we've got one more line in there that's really important because it says, "Not the high and mighty, the powerful and great." Okay, this is a really important part of the song because you could not get less high and mighty or less powerful and great than the shepherds because just about everybody was higher and more powerful and greater and mighty than the shepherds. Now, I've never been a shepherd. Or I don't really know what today's equivalent would be to a shepherd. You know, I mean, Mike Rowe could probably tell you who would fit into that spot today. But, you know, just kind of think of the lowest job that you can. Okay, you know, I've worked in some plants, some factories, printing plant, and, you know, it's the person that's, you know, the new hire. Or the unskilled or untrained, you know, that empties the garbage and, you know, runs the baler and sweeps the floor and, you know, goes and gets this and takes that over there and all. And so, you know, that's the kind of person that the shepherd was. But there's more to that last phrase because it said, "Those who feel unwanted." And that the world has pushed away. Now, who do you think would be included in that? Maybe the pregnant teenager? Maybe the abused person? The disabled? You know, the one that, you know, is maybe in a wheelchair or has to walk with crutches or, you know, has some kind of device on them that they need, or veterans, or, you know, maybe the unwanted and pushed away might be, you know, the high school dropout, the aliens, you know, the uneducated, the unemployed. You know, all these kind of describe the shepherds in one way or another, because, you know, the shepherds, you know, they probably weren't very well educated. A lot of people weren't at that time, but, you know, probably the shepherds were down even a little further and, you know, had maybe tried to have other jobs and, you know, were pushed away because of who they were and what their resume said. But the shepherds were certainly unwanted, because they were the ones that, if they came into the city, people would say, you know, why are you here? You don't belong here. You know, I mean, you really stink. You know, we smelled you before we saw you. You know, just get out. You know, pretty much the only person lower than a shepherd would be a leper. That, you know, was an outcast from everywhere. So let's look at this and say, if you were God, who would you have had the angel go to? Probably not to the janitor, or to that homeless person, or to the cleaning lady, or to that guy on the corner that is set up a thing where he's selling newspapers, or the McDonald's burger flipper, or the baggage guy at the airport. You know, you probably wouldn't have chosen those. You know, you'd maybe more likely go to a pastor, to a priest, to a doctor. I mean, they're smart people. Or to a professor at the college, or a teacher in school, or to a parent, someone that to you is an important person. In Jesus's culture, that would have been the Pharisees, the chief priests, the kings or princes, queens or princesses. But God is so much wiser than you and I, okay? Now, the closest that I can come to in trying to relate to a shepherd would be this. Okay, when I went into the Army, August 1967, as a private E1, as low as you can go, went to basic training. Okay, when we first got there, the first few days, you know, we were getting physicals, getting shots, and, you know, getting some information and all. And then we all got loaded into a bus. No, it wasn't even a bus. It was a truck. And, you know, when we went from one side of Fort Dix to the other side of Fort Dix, and they opened up those doors, you found out how low you were. I mean, you felt like you were lower than whale poop. Okay, you were lower than a snake's belly. The DI's drill instructors made you feel like you fit into this category of being the lowest of the low. I mean, they just screamed at you and hollered at you and, you know, called you all kinds of names. And, you know, you just felt like you were, you know, the worst thing that there could possibly be. So that's the closest I could come to maybe feeling like a shepherd. But let me look at the beginning of the second verse of this song. It says, all who feel rejected, unwanted and alone, were all so undeserving of the kindness we've been shown. You know, the first part really echoes more of the lowliness of the shepherd. Rejected, unwanted, alone. And the loneliness that you and I feel at some times. But the next line is different. It says we're all so undeserving of the kindnesses we've been shown. Well, nothing could be truer. not just the shepherd, or the janitor, or the disabled, or the veteran, or the clerk, or the cleaning lady, but also the pastor and the priest, the professor and that teacher, the princes and the princesses. You know, we're all so undeserving. Jesus didn't come that night because we deserved what he was willing to do. Okay, listen to Mark chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Okay, Jesus was at Matthew's house having dinner with him. Okay, Matthew was a tax collector until Jesus came along, but Matthew wanted to have a dinner for him, and so he invited a bunch of his buddies. And in the New Living Translation, it says this: "But when the teachers of the religious law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, 'Why does he eat with such scum?' When Jesus heard this, he told them, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners.'" Jesus knew his purpose. He knew his role on earth. He knew how long he was going to be there. He knew how much he had to do in that short time before he was going to be crucified and leave the earth. So his life began with the outcasts, the shepherds, and it continued that way while he was here. Now, let's look at the chorus of the song. It says, "Hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lowly and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken. I bring you good news. Hear the call of Christmas. The Savior waits for you." So it starts out much like the verses. It talks about the lost, the left behind, forgotten, the lowly, the empty, the forsaken. But it's the last three lines that tell the best part of the song. I bring you good news. Hear the call of Christmas. The Savior waits for you. The call of Christmas. Jesus came to call everyone to himself. Just as he chose to come to the forgotten and the lowly, he also came for the high and the mighty, the powerful and the great. And no one knows what high and mighty is, or powerful and great is, than Jesus. Okay, like the Hillsong song tells us in King of Kings, that line says, "From a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt." That's Jesus, that he came from heaven on high to that manger in a stable. Okay, Jesus, being the King of Kings, knows how to rule from a throne. And he also called the ones no one else wants any part of. Being a Nazarene, Jesus was snubbed by others at times. Okay, we find that out in the first chapter of John, verses 45 and 46. It says, "Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, 'We've found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth.'" "Nazareth?" exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Okay, so Jesus knew what it was like to be shunned because of where he was from. Now, maybe you came from the wrong side of the tracks, as they say, and so you may know how that feels. Or maybe you have that last name, the one that people kind of turn their noses up when they know who you are. "Oh, she's just a Johnson," or, you know, "Oh, he's just a McGillicuddy," or whatever. And you may be that one that the teachers figure out who you are, and so they just have you booked as a troublemaker, somebody that's not going to learn, not going to put in any effort. "No, he's going to be just like his brother, nothing but trouble. Never do his homework, show up for class whenever he feels like it. So, you know who he is. But remember what Jesus said about Zacchaeus after he believed. Luke 19, verses 9 and 10 says, Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Zacchaeus, he wasn't a poor man, but he was despised. He was hated. And Jesus sought him out. And Jesus saw him up in the tree and called him down. So Jesus seeks us out as well. And he doesn't look to see, this guy's got, look at all these sins this guy's committed. I'm not sure as he's ready or I'm ready for him. Okay, he doesn't wait for us to become better, to become less sinful. He simply waits for us to answer the call. You know, the call of Christmas. So we need to try to understand what all this means, at least as best we can. God chose to have his son come to earth in the best possible way. Okay, if he had chosen him to come to the high and mighty, the billions of us that don't fit into that category would feel left out. You know, I guess that's not for me. You know, that's not really for us. So we would assume that the Savior was only here for the educated, for the rich, for the powerful, for those in high society. And of course, there's those that look at it the other way. Jesus just came for the lowly, the poor, the uneducated, the disabled. But I think God's plan was more like this. You know, if Jesus came for the poor and the uneducated and the lowly, and they're accepted, I guess I can be accepted as well. Even though I don't fit into those categories, I guess he came for me as well. And like all of God's plans, it was the best. It's worked for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's been accepted by billions of people over time. So I guess it really works better than what our plan maybe would have. So maybe we need to make sure that we let others know about that plan as well. Let's pray. Father, I just give you thanks for my brothers and sisters that they know this truth. You know, they've heard this story over and over again, and they know it and they believe it, but Lord, they slip into the cracks like everybody else and get sucked into what Christmas is not about. So Lord, help us to remember the most important part of Christmas is Jesus Christ. That it's not the food, it's not the lights, it's not the gifts, it's not the parties, that it's just really all about Jesus. Help us to know that it's the core of, it's not the core of a holiday, it's the core of humanity. So Father, help us to not forget that. And Lord, maybe someone that's listening today doesn't know that. They've probably heard the Christmas story along the way somewhere. Maybe got a Christmas card from somebody that talked about this Messiah, this Savior, and Jesus being born in a cradle in a stable someplace. And it just doesn't make a lot of sense to them. Lord, I pray today will be the day that it makes a lot of sense to them, that it means more to them than anything else, and that because of that, that they're ready to surrender their life to you, that they're ready to say, "Now, Lord, now I understand as best I can, and now I want to have your Son as my Messiah, as my Savior, and my Lord." Lord, let them know that they need to pray a prayer kind of like this. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. to die for my sins, and to come back to life, and to let me know that I can have that eternal life as well, that I just need to believe in my heart that Jesus died for me, and that I've been a sinner, just like everybody else that's ever been born. I have sin in my life, and that you will take those sins from me, and that you will help me to be a better person. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.